Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Well, it's time to talk all things football with our man Stan Weber, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Folks who shop at Roberts Robinson say we just make it easy. And it's true. Online at RobertsRobinson.com. Hello, Mr. Stan Weber. A wild week of football. Not a whole lot of winning in these parts or good things happening. You hanging in there okay?
Yes. That's what's so fun about sports. And that's why, Kevin, I have no problem appreciating when the good times happen. Really being so close to high-level basketball and football with college, get the college game, and then also being able to keep close tabs with the NFL and even knowing the people around the Chiefs. I'm telling you, it is hard to win. And so it just makes me appreciate it more. Sometimes people kind of chuckle and say, can't believe you're satisfied with that. And I go, well, just think about the alternative. And no one thinks the alternative is right around the corner. Like Chiefs, oh, we're going to make the Super Bowl every year now. No, Kevin, you make the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, even if you only win one, I'm celebrating that. I'm talking about this is great times in Kansas City. And it's the same thing because the loss for K-State, for instance, in football, 2 weeks in a row, you know, Baylor and then Texas on Friday, a 7-day stretch, two losses. They sit at 7 wins. They don't get a chance to get number 8, number 9. You want to beat Texas. Everybody in the Big 12 is rooting for you. Maybe everybody in the country wanting you to win on Friday. A special day in college football, 11 o'clock kickoff in Austin. You know, a big chance to win. You don't get it done. But you can't help now that the season's over and the pain has to get away and you got to look forward to say, I wouldn't throw this season back. K-State just won 7 games with Skylar Thompson missing 3 starts. They won 7 games. They fifth, place. Finished in the fifth place in the Big 12, upper half, and they're going to a bowl game. They beat Kansas, their rival, did it in great fashion on the road. I mean, there's so many things to be happy about. But in life, you're always saying, I'll take that for granted for a second. I want a little more. You know, you want that eighth win. And so, yeah, and it goes around the horn. You know, Kansas had a chance to beat West Virginia. Don't get it done. Missouri loses against Arkansas. So I guess the Kansas City Chiefs sitting by the side and watching others lose is the only one put in an advantageous situation. So we can hang on our Chiefs and go. But there's so many good things to enjoy. I hope fans don't forget, whenever their team wins, to value that. Don't blow it away and say, well, it was only against fill in the blank. No, there is no only against. In big-time sports, you win, you should celebrate it.
Well, Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to USC is the story at every level of football. And I don't know that the country's stunned. You know, when you really sit back and look at things, and Stan, you and I think, are both very good at this. We look at things objectively. We understand, you know, pecking orders and hierarchy in football and things like that. I've said this about Kansas basketball for a long time with Bill Self. Okay, he's been there forever. The question's been, well, why hasn't he ever gone to the NBA, or why doesn't he do this or that? Where could you possibly be where you have more advantages than Kansas? They own their own league. I do not understand Texas and Oklahoma owning their own league and choosing to leave. And in my opinion, Lincoln Riley just told every prospective coach in America that Oklahoma's job is about to become too hard. It is not the job you think it is. It's going to be too hard in the SEC. That's what Lincoln Riley held a big sign up and said to everyone. I mean, if I'm Oklahoma, I want back. I want back in the Big 12. I'm scared to death at this point. I think they're going into no man's land. I think they're about to become Nebraska. I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I can't think of anything other than Lincoln Riley saying, this is going to be too hard. Give me USC and the easy Pac-12.
Well, you've heard me talk about this over the last 20 years, Kevin. And, you know, one of the themes is, if you're in a card game and you have such advantages, instead of lusting for the last little piece of domination, I would never say, let's reshuffle the deck and start all over. I just spoke about a few minutes ago about how hard it is to win, and Nebraska is your best example. I mean, Nebraska was a dominant Big 8 team, and that continued into the Big 12, and there was a lot about the intimidation of the conference foes, knowing when they walked in, just looking at those Nebraska helmets was worth maybe more than 3 points, maybe 14 points, because the other teams go, here we go again, when anything happened negatively. And you talk about owning the conference. Kansas basketball, without a doubt, is in that situation. Oklahoma football is in that situation. And to think that Oklahoma is going to change those dynamics and go to the SEC, it's not so much, oh, the SEC's dominant. That's what we're supposed to say, Kevin. That's the easy one. oh, how are you going to compete with Alabama and Florida and LSU? Well, look, yes, but Oklahoma can compete with LSU. Okay, Oklahoma can compete with Florida. This is not the problem. The problem is you reshuffle the deck, and those teams aren't scared of you, and they just play you, and suddenly they beat you like it's no big deal. Welcome Nebraska to the Big Ten. Northwestern comes in early in their transfer to the Big Ten, and they beat Nebraska. They don't care. You know, Iowa State wouldn't have been able to do that. They'd have found a way to lose. So just reshuffling it and moving into any conference when you have a dominant situation is really a giant question mark, and it may be in play. Nebraska wasn't immune to it. Why would Oklahoma be? Well, they can say they've won forever. They've had a lot of different coaches and all those things. But, Kevin, I think that risk is really not worth taking. And then Lincoln Riley here sounds out a big message. There's something that you said about dominating the conference, or that's not the word you use, that own the conference. And we put Texas in there monetarily, decision-making-wise, value that they have. Texas had all those things. But you know what? Texas didn't have it on the field. They were not dominating in football, and they were not dominating in basketball. But Oklahoma was. And I think Lincoln Riley just shouted out to the Oklahoma administration, why are you just following Texas blindly? I mean, really, we're second-class citizens. That's what OU is. They're the followers. They're the tail. They didn't call the SEC, Kevin. There's no bone in my body that believes they called the SEC and said, you're looking like you're putting a mega deal financially together, with ESPN. I want to join you. I think it was completely Texas. And most of ESPN saying, we got to get rid of this Texas Longhorn Network. It's an embarrassment. It's killing us. We're losing a ton of money. Why don't you join us? And the Longhorns are like, well, how are you going to pay us that money you owe us? You owe us almost $20 million a year for another 10 years. They go, well, how about we fold that in? We'll get you more money in the SEC. Texas takes the bait, runs away. You know, what a weak-minded, strong team in the conference they are. What an embarrassment Texas is. But Oklahoma, to just be the tail on the dog, and be scared and follow them. I think Lincoln Riley is shouting that out. You know, why are we following Texas to the SEC? Why don't we have the strength to say we're the power team in the conference? Why don't we just stay in the conference, continue to dominate, take a higher leadership role? It's no longer Nebraska and Texas who own the, you know, decision making that we talk about the power structure. It's Oklahoma now. Why don't we stay? And why would we want to leave Oklahoma State? You know, there's many reasons why Oklahoma could stay. But they didn't. And I think Lincoln Riley is putting a spotlight on that. I don't know if it's he's scared of the SEC as much as, why are we following these guys? And I, this morning, you know, got in the shower and had my crazy mindset, Kevin. And not because I was going to talk to you, but it's especially important because I am going to talk to you. And you like thinking this way. You track along with an imagination. I just wonder, contractually, because I care about contracts, right? Grant of rights to the Big 12 for Oklahoma. What do they sign with the SEC? Is there any chance that Oklahoma could call Nebraska up and say, hey, what, Nebraska, why don't you come back to the Big 12 and we'll stay in the Big 12 and we'll make something out of this. We can make a 14-team conference. We can add those other teams. We can make it 16 teams if we want. But why don't we just stay right here and reevaluate? Will Lincoln Riley knock over some dominoes to get Oklahoma people to think about their situation? And, Kevin, I'm not even going to run down scared of the SEC. That's not one of my thoughts. It could be, but it's not about being scared. It's just playing new teams that don't care who you are, who just walk out in the field. What happens if Mississippi State starts beating Oklahoma every other year? It's like, what?
Well, hey, listen,
that's not unusual.
Oklahoma's had its problems with Kansas State and Iowa State and Baylor this year. So, and now Oklahoma State. So listen, Lincoln Riley had a great 5 years, but he just got pushed around by some programs that are not supposed to be as good as him. He's lost twice to Chris Klieman. He's lost to Iowa State. Now he's lost to Gundy, who looks like he's going to be have the best program in this new league, at least at this point, when they start the thing up. Look, I think Lincoln Riley's just a smart guy, and he's a young guy, and he's saying, I'm not going to sit here at Oklahoma for 40 years. That's not my legacy. I think he probably wants to coach in the NFL someday. I think this move probably, you know, vaults him to a place in Los Angeles where he's maybe even higher profile than he is in Norman. And you're right, it's not that he doesn't think he can win some games in the SEC, but there's no championship in the SEC for him. It's not going to happen. Here's the hard part about the SEC. Yes, Oklahoma's a great brand, but they're not a great brand in the SEC. He's recruiting kids from California to play in Oklahoma because Oklahoma is not rich with talent. He goes into Texas and gets a bunch of players. That's going to get harder because there's plenty of other options for Texas kids to play in the SEC with Texas going and A&M already there and all these other things. I think a lot of this is about recruiting. I think he looked around and said, look, Tennessee is trying to pull players out of Mississippi and Louisiana and Georgia, and it's not doing great for them. They're not getting great players. You know, some of these programs on the outskirts of the SEC, Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, these states are very hard to compete in recruiting because what kid wants to leave Louisiana and go to Lexington, Kentucky or Norman, Oklahoma? They all want to play at LSU, and the players are all stacked in three or four SEC states. I think it's totally calculated, and he absolutely made the right move, and I couldn't care less what happens to Oklahoma. I hope they go off into oblivion. I've got OU friends. You've got OU friends. They were all puffed. Why do these fans, Stan, when they hear their school is leaving one conference for another, why do they puff their chests out and brag when all we've seen is that big, high-profile programs that leave fail? It blows up in their face. They disappear. My God, I remember the Colorado Buffaloes winning national titles. What's worked for them? Nothing has worked for them. This none of any of this made sense. And Stan, it's just a bunch of people wanting to enrich themselves. They're like politicians. You know, the executives at these schools are all getting richer and richer and richer, and the fans are having less and less reason to buy a ticket and root for their team. It's terribly short-sighted.
Yeah, and I think a couple of things. First of all, Lincoln Riley, I think you point out something. I think he understands now how the heat is in the kitchen and that his recruiting right now and his ability to stack Oklahoma to the elite level is a little more challenging, even disregarding the SEC knowledge. Take that away for a second. Do you realize in a full round robin, kind of a fair conference schedule, that Oklahoma had never gone undefeated under Lincoln Riley? Number one, okay, 3 years to the college football playoff, one loss, great job, won the conference, not trying to bash him. He did a good job. But how much of that was Bob Stoops' carryover, that kind of thing? It's all combined. It's Oklahoma. It's Lincoln Riley. But last year, we don't remember this very well, but Iowa State was 8-1, and Oklahoma was 7-2. If we'd have stopped right there, they wouldn't have won the conference. They got a free pass to go play it again in Dallas and was able to beat Iowa State and steal a conference championship. This year, Kevin, they're not even in the game. They're considered, with the tiebreaker, the third-best team in the Big 12. You got a little trend here. You know, legitimately second last year, legitimately a third this year. He might be saying, these people are already going to get tired of me, and this is hard. So just hitting the reset button, period, rather than taking the heat, and then all the other things that come into it that you spoke about very well, all these things are in play. It's not going to be easy for Oklahoma. I don't know. Again, I think it's a bad move by them to do this, and I think that Lincoln Riley, you know, what he wants to do and hit the reset button, and in the Pac-12, if you put together a good program, it's wide open to be the team, right? Oregon's done cycling through right. being the team.
That's right.
And Washington's coach Peterson's gone. They're not, there is no team right now that is the dominant team in the Pac-12. It's wide open. Where, again, he can jump to the top of the conference, and the best entree into the college football playoff is by far winning your conference. Winning the new Big 12 for a Cincinnati, a K-State, an Oklahoma State is going to be better than trying to win that SEC.
And
that is so hard to do.
You and I don't follow recruiting as close as a lot of people, but it's obvious already that Oklahoma recruits are going to USC. I think we had four and five stars cancel their commitment to Oklahoma last night, and it sounds like they're all headed to USC. Three kids are from Southern California, so they're going to stay home and play for USC instead of going to Norman. I mean, this is a kick in the crotch to any Oklahoma fan like nobody ever got. I mean, this is a disaster for Oklahoma, and I can't think of anything else. And maybe this is too, maybe this is a 24-hour reaction, but if I'm Joe Castiglione, who's very highly thought of, you and I have known Joe for decades. If I'm Joe Castiglione, I'm going to my president right now. I'm saying, can we get out of this? Can we save the Big 12? Can we stay? What are the contracts? Where are we? We made a mistake. We followed Texas. Can we stay? I'd be dying right now to stay in the Big 12 if I'm Oklahoma.
Yeah, because they have proven with Bob Bowlesby being pissed off. I mean, he was mad, and this guy has great composure, but he was mad. And he finally, you know, got the backbone to say it out loud, call the legal issues up about, hey, ESPN, be careful what you do in the future. SEC, be careful. College football playoff, timeout, all those things. The Big 12 added four teams, and you may not like where they are and what they are academically or whatever you want to say, Kevin, but the Big 12 is going to make it. They're going to continue to play sports and be considered a Power Five and not autonomous conference. They are that. So Oklahoma can say, well, maybe the Big 12 isn't going to break down, because that was the old Missouri statement, right? Oh, it's going to fall apart in 5 minutes. That's why we got to jump off the ship. And everyone said that. It's going to fall apart, so we got to get out of here. And Oklahoma might be saying that about the Big 12, but not now. So I would definitely love to see, if I were them, to do some evaluation. Do we really want to just follow Texas blindly around, or do we have some guts and stability that we can get things done? Now back to football. This Lincoln Riley deal, talk about a punch in the gut for Oklahoma. Get ready for that punch to be a second punch a little bit lower, Kevin, because free transfers, immediate eligibility is available for every Oklahoma player who says, I love Lincoln Riley. You know, like Caleb Williams, starting quarterback for OU, he could say, Coach, I want to go with you. I'd like to play for you. And you know what? Free transfer eligibility could be the starting quarterback for USC next year. No problem. So not only do you lose some recruits that you had, not only do you have him recruiting against you in California to bring any kids, unnamed people we don't know about right now, Kevin, because we don't follow recruiting that closely, you and me, but there are others who may not go to Oklahoma because Lincoln Riley can get into their house and say, hey, I know what it's like in Oklahoma. Did you know, like, the dirt's red? They're like, what? Yeah, the dirt's red. Well, you mean the beach? No, the dirt's red. There is no beach. I mean, he's going to be able to recruit against Oklahoma out there. Well, but this whole Oklahoma team, Kevin,
right?
The portal is so available for all these kids. How many Oklahoma kids, I'm not saying Lincoln Riley's going to do anything wrong. I'm not talking about him talking to any kid. These kids, their parents and their handlers are the ones who want to move. They'll call Lincoln Riley and say, Coach, you didn't call me, but I don't know what that position looks like. You know, I'm a tight end, and I don't know what your USC tight end group looks like, but I'd like to play for you if you think I can play at USC. You see what I'm saying? This is a lot of things up in the air.
And if he gets four or five really good players from Oklahoma go to USC with him, I think you're going to see rules changes on the transferring. I think they'll set it up to where, okay, we want to give the kids the ability to transfer, but you cannot transfer for a coach on your staff. I mean, that's a really bad look for college football. And I don't blame Lincoln Riley if he does it, and I think he will. I think he's going to pluck some guys that are going to transfer and be upperclassmen at USC next year, and they're going to go with him. Why wouldn't they? Hey, let's go to L.A. for a year, my senior year with my coach. I know the system. He's going to plug me right in and play. I know the terminology. I'm just going to go with him. I think that'll be the beginning of the end of that. I think they'll have to pass something that says you can transfer anytime you want, but you can't transfer with your coach. That doesn't seem to me like that should be part of the deal.
Well, it's going to be crazy, but how about this?
It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys. I hope it happens to Oklahoma. Yeah, well, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of thieves.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I had no problem. I mean, there's a lot of us who respected Joe Castiglione to the highest level when he was at Mizzou, on to Oklahoma, friends with him and everything else. But that kind of changed, you know. I can forgive, but I don't look at Joe Castiglione the same way after this little stunt.
No, of
following Texas is what I think. But hey, there's a few people who think about Sooner Magic, and it always just turns out great for Oklahoma. What happens, Kevin? Don't forget, what happens if Bob Stoops, who is the interim coach for one game in a bowl at Oklahoma officially, what happens if he decides he wants to coach again? Remember, he coached in that spring league. What happens if he wants to get back and he becomes the new head coach at Oklahoma? That's not a bad trade-off for the Sooners. So this may not be done. It may turn out okay for Oklahoma yet.
I'd be hard-pressed to think that Stoops is going to do that, though. He might. I've got it written down here. I was going to ask you what you thought the possibility of that was. I think if he does, it's a little bit of a last resort. I think because he's already said, I'm a program guy. I think Castiglione's having trouble hiring the right guy, or if it starts to look bad at some point, I think Stoops will say, you know, give me a 4-year contract. I'll do this, but let's be on the lookout for your next coach. I'll do this for a couple of years, but let's be on the lookout. And if they're going to
find our next Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. That, you know, hopefully would be a little more loyal, maybe an Oklahoma guy, you know, with Lincoln Riley's pedigree. I could see Stoops maybe doing it, but I can't see him coming back for like 10 years like Bill Snyder did. I just can't. I don't think he likes coaching that much. I think he likes doing other things.
Well, it'll be interesting to see because, man, it is a gravitational pull, Kevin,
for
those coaches to get back. And it's been a gravitational pull that I've been able to fight my whole life because I was probably born to be a coach. And I stayed away from it, didn't do it. Fortunately, I was blessed enough to get into broadcasting, so that's kind of given me an opportunity to stay involved in sports. But these guys are some of my best friends, right, these coaches. And it is so hard to stay away. And let's think about the alternative. first of all, his son, I believe Drake, can play next year for sure, maybe two more years as a starting wide receiver, a great special teams guy. I mean, it'll be kind of fun for the family if Bob came back and was the head coach. What really doesn't make sense is Bob Stoops is sitting around, you know, Michigan Stadium in an empty stadium, freezing his butt off.
Yeah.
Sitting around a set with like six people and saying five words every, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have any time to break things down. He just sits at the, he sits there and freezes, flies someplace, and isn't even with his kid at the Oklahoma game. I mean, he's not a quitter. Bob Stoops is such a good, hardworking guy. I respect the hell out of him, but this might be a free way to say, I'm not quitting on Fox, you know, my contract. I'm just asking them, can you let me go back? Because I'm going to coach, I'm not going to be able to do TV.
Right.
I'm going to be able to be with my son. And he could do it two, three. You know, he could do it until they transfer to the SEC or something. Just say, I'll be your transition coach. As long as you're in the Big 12, I'll coach, or I'll create the new Lincoln Riley. And who knows? There are probably some health issues. His father passed away at a fairly young age. You know, maybe he's saying, I do not want that stress of being a head coach. But, man, time flies. Once you get involved, you know, Urban Meyer came back when he thought he was retired and had a whole big-time career at Ohio State. Then here he is at Jacksonville. So 10 years might fly by with a Bob Stoops. But that's their home run right now. If they can get Bob Stoops to stay on as a head coach at Oklahoma for 1 year, 2 years, or any time, that actually could be better than having Lincoln Riley as your head coach. Unless they get that rabbit pulled out of the hat, then all these other things are right in play, that Oklahoma may be getting a curveball thrown their way immediately. What happens if three of their best players or seven of their best players are starting for USC next year because they love Lincoln Riley?
Right. All right, one final college thought, then we'll transition to the NFL and get your thoughts on, you know, where the Chiefs are here as they get ready for the Broncos on Sunday Night Football. If you had to just throw a dart here and tell me what four teams you think are going to be in the playoff, what, I mean, we assume Georgia can go lose their game this week and still be in because they've been so good and they're undefeated. Beyond that, what are your thoughts about who you think will win this weekend and what the playoff will look like?
Well, I think Georgia's in no matter what. So it doesn't matter if they win or not against Alabama. So that's kind of the easy way to answer your question. It gets a little more complicated. Do you think Alabama can rise to the occasion and beat Georgia? You know, I still have more question marks about Georgia maybe than anybody around. Their defense has been good, but you look at the teams they beat, it's been a very easy run in the East. Okay, and they didn't really play the toughest teams when they played in the West. So Georgia's defense has been record-breaking, but they get a lot of credit for beating Clemson in a low-scoring game at the beginning of the year. The schedule's been pretty easy. I don't think Georgia's that much better than the rest of the country, but I hope it doesn't play out this week that Alabama beats them, because Alabama would get in. So let's just act like Georgia somehow slips by Alabama. I think Alabama gets knocked out with two losses, definitely for me, because they should have lost to Auburn, for instance. So just quit giving them a free break. They lost to Texas A&M, okay? Don't tell me how great Alabama is just because they got a bunch of NFL guys. So if Georgia wins, Alabama's out in my world, okay? I think Michigan will beat Iowa. I don't think Michigan's nearly as good as they played against Ohio State. That surprised the heck out of me. What a performance. Michigan may be the best team in the country if they play like that, but I think it was just the right moment in history for it all to come together. But I think Michigan over Iowa gives them a spot. So now I've got two in there. Cincinnati-Houston, it's going to be a dangerous game, but let's say Cincinnati beats Houston. I think that's spot number three. If Alabama slides out and Oklahoma State beats Baylor, I got OSU as the fourth team. And that's going to be a tough game. Baylor's good. But what quarterback are they going to play? There's some issues. It's going to be a tight, tight game. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but let's say OSU wins by 1 point, and OSU becomes my fourth team. Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, OSU. Not very tempted, Kevin, to put Notre Dame in, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Oregon, Oklahoma, Iowa. None of those teams really shake my brain up. If Baylor wins, probably not enough to get all the way up there. So this is so much parity, Kevin. Here's my statement. If the top 10 teams played each other, any random pick them out of the hat, two teams, and played 2 weeks in a row, within an eight-day period, I'm saying most of them would end up in a 1-1 tie. That's how equal these teams are. How they play, how the ball bounces. There is no dominant team. So we get to talk about the NFL, and thank you so much, Kevin, because there is order. There is football played with known objectives. You win your division, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You win, you're in, you get a home game. Here's how the wild cards get in. That's what we need, Kevin. This thing, we can sit around and pick the best four teams, is a joke. It's always been that way, but this year, 2021, is the greatest example where there, you could pick the 10th or 12th best team in the country, and on any given day, they could beat the second or third best team in the country. So I'm tired of us being told, here are the four best teams. It's not the way to do it. Right. Give me some conference champions, man. Yep, let's
exactly
go.
Right. Exactly right. On to Pro Football with Stan Weber, brought to you by 360documentsolutions.com, online at 360documentsolutions.com. They are more than happy to give you a complimentary analysis of all your document technology, IT programs, and a complete review of your current costs, offer you a real benefit at 360documentsolutions.com. And, of course, Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics, with 12 locations in the Kansas City area for your convenience. Get that perfect smile at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. In the NFL, the Ravens continue to be like the most hideously ugly team. Here's what I want, Stan. I want the Ravens to be the one seed. If the Chiefs can't, go ahead, Baltimore, because the Chiefs lost the tiebreaker. There's nothing I'd rather have than the third week of January, the Chiefs playing at Baltimore for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs would win that game. This Lamar Jackson is a... By the way, both those quarterbacks Sunday night were complete disasters and train wrecks all night long. I mean, we get mad at Mahomes and some of the sloppy things he's done this year. Lamar Jackson is a turnover machine. How in the world is that team the one seed right now?
Yeah, give me some Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow. I don't like Ed Ogeron as the coach at LSU. Some of my relatives texted me as they're getting ready to play the national championship game and say, hey, you told us a few years ago this guy's a disaster, not a good coach. Do you feel that way still? And I kept my guts, Kevin, and I said yes. But Joe Burrow is one badass quarterback. And the receivers, and you know, LSU was one of the greatest teams ever. I love Joe Burrow and the way he plays. How about he's the best quarterback in that division? Woo! I don't know. Wow. But I don't think Cincinnati's ready for prime time either, okay? I don't. Jackson is unreliable up and down on any given day. He can go win the game by himself. But when it's counted on, the weather gets colder, and he has to pass from the pocket. He's shown no ability to do that, Kevin. It's just not his game. So I do not believe on the Ravens going all the way to the Super Bowl. Sure, they can win a playoff game, but that's been hard, right? They've lost, and their defense is not nearly as good. Credit old John Harbaugh for being a great coach. I mean, just coaching like crazy. Mike Tomlin gets that credit all the time. The Steelers have never had a losing record when he's been the head coach. He's been a constant. He deserves a lot of love, but so does John Harbaugh. What strikes me when you look around, Kevin, is 3 years ago, you to talk about the top of the AFC and that fight to the Super Bowl and the teams that you better be focused in on, they're the same teams as we have right now. New England Patriots, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, you might have included the Pittsburgh Steelers, but isn't it amazing? In just this short of time, here we go again. The Ravens with Harbaugh find a way. I mean, Tucker's the best kicker in the NFL. He'll make some 50-yarders or 65-yarders if he needs to get a win over Detroit. I mean, whatever it takes, put it on the field goal kicker, find a win. John Harbaugh is doing a great job. But you're right, the Ravens are not a dominant team. The team to worry about for me right now, as crazy as it sounds, is Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
For sure.
They were 2-4, and you really called this out last year, Kevin. You really showed a great appreciation for Belichick. I remember the first time you and I had a chance to do a podcast in your temporary apartment, not in that nice home you're in now, but the temporary apartment and up there in your studio and it, with COVID around, we very safely went up and did a live person to person, mic to mic interview. And you asked one of the, you know, great questions, you know, Brady or Belichick, Tampa Bay or New England, who's going to finish the best this year? And you were on Belichick, and you just were like you are sometimes, you know, just a year early on that. Here he is back with a rookie quarterback, Mac Jones, and they somehow are not just winning games, Kevin. They are stuffing teams down into the dirt. I mean, they don't win by three. They beat teams, you know, 35-14. When they start getting a chance to beat you, they grab you by the neck. They turn you over. It's amazing.
So this is interesting because they do everything right. And our complaint with the Chiefs this year is that they've been sloppy and turned it over, and they lost games because they're crazy. The game last night was almost unwatchable. The Ravens and Browns game was almost unwatchable because it was such ugly, mistake-filled football with the ball on the ground all night. That's the Patriots are the exact opposite of that. I mean, you don't have to watch, you don't have to know much about football. If you're watching the New England Patriots right now, you know you're watching the best coach team in the NFL. It isn't close. And he's got a rookie quarterback who's playing like a 7-year veteran. I mean, that guy looks like he's been running that offense forever. It's all Belichick. I mean, he really is that good.
Yeah, he is. I mean, right now, you know, point differential is not something that I've told you ever that I've watched, okay? I don't think I've ever mentioned point differential to you, Kevin, in all the 20-plus years we've been breaking down NFL football. Yards per attempt, I told you 20 years ago, is the most important stat to look at, both offensively and defensively. That's how you win in the NFL. The best yards per attempt is the best correlation to Super Bowl champions. But I've just got to note here, Kevin, this is the first time it's been notable in over 20 years. New England right now is right with a lot of other teams at 8-4. Okay, there's a lot of teams who have 4 losses, 5 losses in the AFC. It's amazing, the competition, the parity. Yet, New England's differential in points scored versus given up is 146 points right now.
Wow.
146 points. The Chiefs are 31, for instance. Okay? And for anybody to be over 100 points is amazing. Buffalo happens to be 144, but New England has the best point differential in the whole NFL. And they've been proving it, beating teams like Tennessee. Now, they don't have Henry running the football, but still, they look like the better team down after down. So they are very dangerous. I said at the start of this year, when the Chiefs started playing, it's not easy to make the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. I generally don't think it's going to happen. That's just the way it works. Seattle 2013, then 2014. They had coach, quarterback, a lot of things, but they didn't make it in 2015. May have made it since. I'm not predicting that. But I thought it'd be hard for the Chiefs to do it this year, Kevin. But the thing I kept saying to you was, I don't necessarily believe in Buffalo, Cincinnati, Cleveland. Those teams are hard to beat. Colts, those Titans are hard to beat in a one-game situation. Chargers, I don't believe these teams are for prime time. I kept saying, it's like a horse race. You know how a horse race, there's a pack of horses, and we know which ones are going to be the best coming around the curve to finalize the race. I've been saying, watch in this horse race where the Pittsburgh Steelers are, where the New England Patriots are, and somewhat where the Baltimore Ravens are. That's always been my focus this whole year, and I felt good all year long saying Chiefs are going to be fine, even in the worst of times, because of that whole scenario. Well, now it's changing right before our eyes. We can be happy about the Chiefs rising to the top, the cream's rising to the top, defense starting to play better. These things are all good. The Chiefs have a great chance and are probably the favorite to make the Super Bowl. But in my horse race, I'm always got my eye on Tomlinson at Pittsburgh and Belichick, New England, and Harbaugh in Baltimore. And I still think Baltimore's just are what they are, overachieving, holding on by a thread, not a great playoff team. Pittsburgh, I don't think we have to worry about them. I didn't think we were going to have to worry about New England because they were 2-4. Uh-oh. I'm more concerned now than ever, because I think New England is the team you should have watched all along, and they may get the number one seed, Kevin, and maybe get a bye. And for a rookie quarterback, all those things are very big. So, man, Chiefs, it's awesome. Great positioning. I'm not surprised the Chiefs are where they are. I'm the least surprised. I was the most optimistic guy a month ago about the Chiefs, but what does scare me is I didn't think New England would be this good this fast.
They are. Okay, final question here. If you had to make a pick for the one seed in the NFC between the Cardinals, the Packers, and the Bucks, who do you think the one seed is in the NFC?
It's just so hard for me to get my arms around the Arizona Cardinals,
right,
Kevin.
Yes.
It is just Cliff Kingsbury's their coach, Kevin.
I know.
He had Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, you know? But they're doing fine.
Let me stop you just for a second there. One of the hot rumors that came out Sunday night was Cliff Kingsbury to the Oklahoma Sooners. And I thought, who's floating that and why would he do that? He's already proven he can't win in college. Why? He's winning in Arizona. He's living in Scottsdale. How are you going to do any better than that?
Yeah, they didn't watch that draft show where he showed from his house.
Yeah.
You know, looks like a pretty nice gig right there with warm weather. He looks like he likes wearing those sunglasses every day.
Yeah.
He takes to that well.
Right.
It credit him, man. He's done a great job, right? I mean, who would have thought he could have bounced back? Was he going to be the USC offensive coordinator for 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Not the head coach, offensive coordinator. And now he's the Arizona Cardinals. I like Kyler Murray. They do a lot of things well, but man, I cannot trust him. They have Buffalo on my mind, right? Say Arizona, I think Buffalo. from last year. You got to believe in Rodgers more than you believe in Arizona just at first blush. I don't believe in the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, the best team in the NFC to me is Tampa Bay.
Okay.
When it's all said and done, when Brady has to play great, when he has to play great, he'll make everyone rise to the occasion. Gronkowski becomes a superstar when he has to be. So right now, the most reliable team to me is definitely Tampa Bay. They're just kind of biding their time. It's hard to hit the accelerator at the end. That's a dangerous way to play. Like, just kind of go through a roller coaster ride in the regular season and say you're going to turn it on at the end. I don't like that mentality. It normally doesn't work in the NFL. But I think in the NFC, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a one-man team, and I think Arizona's a little unreliable. The Rams, I don't believe in them. The way they've been structured and put together, it's weak. The glue hasn't been set. You can't just, you know, you can't build a building in 5 minutes and think it's going to stand the stress of high wind. So I do not believe in the Rams. So here we go. I think Tampa Bay is the only team you can rely upon. Then Green Bay with Rodgers. And anytime you win in the NFL, you deserve credit. So I'm going to put Arizona in there third. They could go to the Super Bowl because this is the NFL. You know, they're not playing an easy MAC conference schedule. They are winning in the NFL, but I still have some reservations about where they are. It looks like the NFC is way behind the AFC right now, unless Tampa's playing in the Super Bowl.
Well done, Stan. As always, we wish you the very best of weeks. I know it was a whirlwind for you last week. You were very, very busy. Maybe you can get caught up a little bit this week, and we certainly appreciate your time, as always, talking about all the goings-on in football, buddy. You're the best.
Thanks, Kevin. A lot of fun, and I think Lincoln Riley, he has done for podcasting and talk radio, man. My wife sometimes laughs and says, it seems like you guys are talking about the same things a lot of times. And I go, well, okay, I'll give you that. I mean, you have to be intensely into sports like we are to think that we're really splitting a new hair. But not this week, baby. This domino falling creates all kinds of thoughts, from Bob Stoops being to Oklahoma maybe coming back to the Big 12. Just a dream of yours and mine. I mean, everything is worth discussing in college football with Lincoln Riley going to USC. That is giant, and tons of things to sort out, speculate about. Have fun, Kevin. You get to talk every day about this. It's going to be fun to watch.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Whatever the right words are.
Yeah.
Take care.
Exactly. Thank you, buddy. Take care. All right, there's Stan Weber. He's awesome, and you got the lowdown on everything going on in college and pro football with Stan. Brought to you by AmazingGarageFloors.net. My man Hutch is in my garage right now. He is here with his crew, overseeing the operation today as I'm getting my new Amazing Garage Floor. You can too, online at AmazingGarageFloors.net or call Hutch at 913-901-7139. Also, Buck Roofing and Construction online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck's team is available 24/7 for emergencies. Keep this phone number in your contacts so you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. It is 913-384-2680 for Buck Roofing. And Merriam Body Shop and the new car image. Many of you are contacting Justin over at Merriam Body Shop and saying, hey, let's get the ceramic coating and the detail done on my wife's car for Christmas this year. What a great Christmas present that is to get a car all cleaned up. Man, these guys do it for a fraction of the cost of other places, and they love your car more than you do. You're going to love the way it looks if you take it to the new car image for custom detailing. Better than new. The ceramic coating is better than your coat of paint the day you got it off the showroom floor. Merriam Drive on I-35 is where the body shop is. State Farm Preferred, Full Collision Repair, you name it. Just call Merriam Body Shop. Ask for Justin. 913-362-1198 for Merriam Body Shop. All right, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this podcast on this, but I've already been receiving emails, and some of the guys who were here early this morning getting ready to do the garage floor were saying, what do you think about this new COVID variant? And what I think of it is we're overreacting already, again, but I think the whole thing is an overreaction. So it's in South Africa. We've got a travel ban, which, of course, Joe Biden is racist, because we have a travel ban on 6 countries or 9 countries in South Africa that they can't come here right now. That's racist. I mean, he's a homophobe, he's a racist, he's a xenophobe, he's all those things. It was a very interesting weekend. This thing's called Omicron, whatever. The doctor in South Africa, her name is Angelique Coetzee, and she discovered it, And she says, we believe it's very contagious, but people confuse contagious with dangerous. Contagious is good. When we spread viruses around to one another, we develop immune systems for humans to be healthier. If things weren't contagious and we shared them, we wouldn't be as healthy as we are and we probably wouldn't have survived the way we have. It's just a natural part of life. So contagious is not, by definition, a horrible thing. The doctor in South Africa describes the symptoms as, quote, extremely mild. You may get sore muscles, a slight cough, or feel tired for a day. That's it? That's what we got a travel ban on. That's what we're closing it down for. Yes, the virus is mutating. The flu virus mutates every year. This is not unusual. This is what these things do. Meanwhile, Fauci's doing interviews saying he now represents science, which is a very arrogant thing for him to say. He was asked about, you know, the Republicans calling for his job and wanting to prosecute him and the whole deal. Rand Paul went to Twitter, the Kentucky senator, and said, what hubris from Dr. Fauci to say that he represents science when he will not acknowledge the science of natural immunity with COVID. He just won't acknowledge it. He won't. Fauci made a comment about January 6th and the riot at the Capitol while being asked about the virus. This guy is a liberal wacko, and Trump should have fired him early on. We've got to get people in these positions that are nonpartisan, that just look at the facts and the data and say, here's what it is, and then give it to the politician that's elected. And if they politicize it, they politicize it. Fauci shouldn't be political, and he is. And he laughed at the fact that Ted Cruz wants him prosecuted. Cruz just obliterates him on Twitter after he laughed and mocked Ted Cruz in this interview. Ted Cruz basically said on May 11th, Anthony Fauci said to the Senate under oath that there is no gain of function research with the NIH or the NIAID. There is none. On October 20th, the NIH admitted there is gain of function research, and it had to do with bats in Wuhan and coronavirus. Ted Cruz, rightfully so, says both of these statements cannot be true. Only one of them can be true. Fauci said, under oath, punishable to 5 years in prison, lying to Congress, under oath, that they've never done it and they don't do gain of function. The NIH puts out a release on October 20th that says, yes, we do. And we have. And he's part of it and knows about it. He should be prosecuted. It is not laughable. It's not laughable in any way. They are going to take the new Omicron and try to ruin your life. They're going to try to drag something out until November of 22. They're going to try right before the election next year to come up with a new variant of COVID and say, this is the one. You got to keep Democrats in office because we care more than they do. Blah, 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 blah. Omicron. The doctor that discovered it in South Africa says, we see a new mutation. It is contagious, but it's extremely mild. Not mild. It's not mild COVID. It is extremely mild COVID, where you may have sore muscles and be tired for a day. Wow. And we're going crazy over that. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. They'll do a custom room addition, custom home, commercial property, or the Solheim condominiums at Grandmere. If you want to check out their portfolio of great work, they'll perform it for you anywhere in the Midwest. Back9development.com. And of course, B-Stock. Wow, what a great weekend they had at B-Stock for Black Friday with their amazing prices, as a lot of people were out getting electronics. But it runs all the way through the holidays, so don't sleep on them this December. B-Stock.net for all your computers, electronics, and television needs. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. College basketball over the weekend. Kansas lost to Dayton. This was on Friday. And they had a 17-point lead in that game, I believe. 16 or 17-point lead. And they lost it. And I'm not sure they really lost it. You know, Kansas does so many things well down the stretch of games. They had gotten the lead back on the last possession of the game. They played amazing defense, really great defense. And Dayton puts up a rainbow shot that hits the rim, bounces, hits the backboard, clanks a couple times. It looked like one of those Plinko games on Price is Right. You know where it goes, doink, 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 and goes through at the bottom? It was Plinko, and it went through, and Dayton won, and Kansas lost. And Bill Self's disappointed in the way his team played. By the way, if you bet on games, they did not cover any of the three games in that tournament. They did not cover a spread and lost outright to Dayton. He was not happy with the performance against Iona on Sunday. Methinks this is just Kansas being Kansas, and Bill Self's going to get his hands around this team just fine. They've got every piece you could need. They have a great player in Abaji. They've got a big man in McCormick. They've got Remy Martin at point guard to run the show. They've got every possible piece you could need to be a great college basketball team. So I am not hitting any kind of a panic button on Kansas for a bad weekend. And a bad weekend is finishing third in a tournament, going 2-1. Another basketball note, Enes Kanter, now my favorite NBA player with the Celtics, is becoming an American citizen today. Monday, November 29th, Enes Kanter from Turkey is becoming an American citizen. He is beaming with a smile. He says it's the greatest country on earth. He loves him some red, white, and blue, and he's becoming a citizen today. Of course, he's LeBron's nemesis. He's really the NBA's nemesis. He's a China nemesis. Enes Kanter loves him some USA. And I love me some Enes Kanter. Congratulations and welcome. You're a great American, sir. And we are pleased to have you. Conservatives love immigration. We love naturalization. We love all of these things. We just like it to be legal and orderly. That's all that we ask. Enes Kanter will contribute in great ways to our society and our country. And he will be a great patriot. And we welcome him to the United States of America with open arms as an American citizen beginning today. Pretty cool. Update on Christmas Shining Star. We were up to 2,700 that we know of. Many of you have contacted Christmas Shining Star and said, I want to adopt a kid and go shop for them, and you're doing that. Or you've just called them and made a donation on your own. That's awesome, and we're very, very happy with that. As I give you the updates over the next 2 weeks as we carry this out, I cannot update that number. That's up to Christmas Shining Star. I don't know what that is. I'll probably have a number around Christmas where I can say, hey, it was this total. But we have a couple of ways through the podcast that you can donate that we keep track of that's pretty easy. And the one is through the patron program. And a lot of the patrons are just upping. A lot of patrons spend $5 a month for the premium content at KKHI, and they've raised that to $25 or $50 or $100 for the month. Then they'll lower it back down when I remind everybody on the 15th of December to lower it back down. But I'm keeping a running tally, and I can see what that is, and I'm going to double that number. If you want to become a patron, you've thought about being a patron, and you've not been a patron, become a patron, and I will double your number for signing up. And it will all go to charity. Your signing up will go to charity, and me doubling it will go to charity. Up to $5,000 for Christmas Shining Star. They got 400 kids that we need to go shopping for and raise some money for. We're up to about $2,700, I think is where we are, $2,800 is where we are. We have a private anonymous donation. I can't tell you who did it. Somebody gave $1,000. It's coming in a lot of different ways. So the numbers I'm giving you are not exact tallies. Just know that up to the $5,000 through the patron program, I'm going to double it. I'm going to double whatever you do through the patron program up to $5,000 if you want to do it that way. If you're already a patron, it's easy to up your pledge for a month and take it back down. Or if you just want to sign up and be a patron for a month, and you don't like it, you can cancel after a month, but your $5 or whatever you sign up for, you can sign up for $100 if you want for the month, and I'll double that and give it right to Christmas Shining Star. I'll send them $200. I'll send them your $100 and me $100 out of my pocket, whatever you sign up for. So if you want to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com, and you can do that, and I will remind you in a few weeks to lower your pledge or cancel or whatever you want to do, and we'll see how much we can raise for those kids in the Kansas City area with Christmas Shining Star. And we end with this. Have you ever been to a party that lasted too long? It can happen, right? Yeah. Well, it happened in England this weekend. There's a band called Oasis. And I can't name their song off the top of my head, but I think I'll know it when I... Yeah, I know their song. I know a couple of their songs. They're all right. I guess they're a big thing in England. There was an Oasis cover band playing at a pub. It looked like out in the country, a freestanding building. It looked big. It almost looked like a farmhouse. A big building out in the country somewhere, near Yorkshire, England. And 61 people went in for the concert, and 61 people stayed there and spent the night. A blizzard was happening, and while it happened, the doors got covered up. The cars were, there was no way out. There was no road. It was like a country road. It was not passable. Even if you had a truck, you couldn't drive through it. So they needed help. Are you ready for this? Those 61 people were there all weekend. They've been there all weekend. They said there's plenty of beer. There's plenty to do. They've got the heat working. Everything's fine. They're just stuck in this bar all weekend, and apparently they're going to clear some of them out today, on Monday. I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know. There's no word whether Moasis, which I think was the name of the band, they put an M in front of Oasis, Moasis fired up another show, but I guess they would, right? They might as well play another show on Saturday night, give the people what they want, maybe do an acoustical set, something like that. So the band was stuck there. The patrons were stuck there. Plenty of food, plenty of beer. They all made it all weekend. It's all good. And a pub in Yorkshire, England. Real life can be funny, can it? That's KKHI for this Monday. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please tell your friends about the podcast or hit the like or follow button. It's absolutely free, and it really does help to load up the number of followers to the podcast. So please hit like or follow if you can. If you introduce the podcast to someone else, help them hit the like or follow button. I greatly appreciate it, and I greatly thank you for listening to KKHI, and hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.